Hello, we're on the air.
I've got feedback there.
Hello, where? How's that?
It's me. It's me, Michael. Anyway,
well,
we're on the air. This is Kathy Cook and Michael Goger. We're bridging some wisdom tonight with several different ways of meaning. Seth is trying to contact me. I'm having a little technical difficulty, so just hold on, everybody. I believe that I'm still connected in two different ways. I'm not sure. But anyway, my computer, Windstream, is down nationwide. That is my service provider. And it is nothing that I can do. So I am calling from my house phone tonight. And we are with Michael. And I've been sick as a dog, Michael. I'm a little kind of still there, you know. But
I know you have, baby. You sound great, though.
Well, thank you.
You sound better than you have. I can tell you that.
What?
Your energy feels better, too.
Does it?
Mm-hmm. Sounds good, baby. We'll have a good show. What are we talking about tonight? What's going on?
I don't know. You know we never prepare, and I didn't even know if we were going to test tonight. But so let me tell you, this is Tuesday, December the 13th, 2011. And I've been playing a few archive pieces, you know, right before, and then we just go from there. I want everybody to know CBS Radio archives are amazing. And I'm just going to pull one, and we're going to play it right in the middle. I decided this earlier tonight before. I was going to play the whole archive for the show, but this is pretty amazing. I can't wait to see what you have to say about this one, Michael. You ready?
You always surprise me.
Halfway in the middle of the archive. I hope everybody's listening up and tuning in, because this is something that is going to be amazing, I'm sure.
Memories.
Where I want to go with this is, I want to go back to Noah and the Ark. Now, the first covenant God gave us is the rainbow, because he had to destroy the world. He warned, it's like I hear all these messages, I'm warning you guys. I hear the knowing. I'm telling you what I'm being told. I'm not putting no more, no less in there, but I've got scattered pieces of the puzzle all over the place. Maybe so it won't be received properly. I don't know. Maybe that's why I did that. I don't question. Everything is exactly as it should be in my world. All is well. So I'm going to stop there for a period. We're going to turn the page and open up a clean page. Let's open up a clean page in my broadcast right now. It's 8:28. Open the gate. 44 seconds. Open the gate. We're going to open the gate. 1, 2, 3, 2, 1. 8:88. Open. Open the gate, the gateway to understanding the purpose that we are here, that the wishes that we have had on Orion, the wishes that twinkle hold, the North Star that guides us all over the brightest light, the Pathfinder's way. Well, just think about something. When God destroyed the earth with the flood, why did he do it? People had an urge. People had, you know, freaking making gold and made worse than, you know, false gods. And finally, Moses went up to the mountain. He was trying to get him across he parted the sea. I don't know if y'all know the story or not. I'm not going to even start the story because then I'll bounce off to that. But anyway, when boy, so 2x2, everything 2x2, so it's called it was evenly yoked. And he took two of each thing, like two of each animal, two of each type of person, two of everything. Built this huge ark. It took him, 40 years and 40 nights. They had this flood. Flood, destroyed the entire world. So he took a dog, God told him to take one of the dirt dogs and let it go, and if it comes back with something green, then there's land that the ark could land on. But the first stuff didn't come back. It was in there 40 days and 40 nights. Finally, he let off the second dove. It came back with a little olive branch. Came back to Noah with a little olive branch. But he knew there was light, and there was for this land. What do we use olive oil for? To dress candles, I've heard. Okay, what is the strongest magic you can have as a candle? I don't know how to do candle magic, but what do we wish on with the birthday candle? With light, we wish for a candle. Well, I do know that I've seen on YouTube that where you, if you light a candle, okay, and I'll try this experiment. Light a candle, have it burn a little bit, then take your lighter or your stick or, you know, whatever, not another candle, but your lighter or your stick or your match. As soon as you blow that candle out, that wick out, strike that match with that lighter immediately and hold it over the flame. You can hold it a good arm's length away where the flame was, over the wick. It will light back up. It will expose itself down into that candle wick and light back up. Why? Because of the little tiny wax particles that are floating around. Wax and magic of the candle. That's why I won't go there. I will not learn it. I don't want to know. I'll wish a birthday candle or I'll light my pretty little candles for an altar. But they're pretty little candles and they smell really good and they look good and I like them. And that's why, because I'll light up my world with a candle. One light will light the next person, which will light the next person, which will light the next person. We will never be distinguished from light. I don't know any black magic to happen. Get my candles ready. I don't know any of that stuff, and I don't care to know it, because I don't want to trash my mind up with that stuff in my body, my spirit, my mind, my soul. Why would I want to hurt somebody if I didn't want to be hurt myself? But where I'm going with this whole situation is some people, places, and things take things differently because of the cultures or the way that they learn words, or who knows why? But the thing is that it doesn't really matter. Because what matters is where we're going. One person, yourself, is going after this world after you leave this world. Now, what happens with God, going back to the Noah and the Ark, after the olive branch, and dressing the candles and all that stuff, that could explode the whole world. The world could explode and explode with candle wiccan magic. I kid you not, it can destroy this world with somebody. Anybody that has enough power and knowledge to know about candle magic. That's how dangerous candle magic is with the olive oil, because the olive branch brought the olive branch back to Noah's Ark. Listen up to the end of this part, because the peace of the turtle dove is for peace. What is God going to do? What does it say in the Bible? God gave Satan rule over this earth. He threw Lucifer out of the world, of the angels, because he was boasting, just like a lion did. He did this first thing when he was made, he defeated the second time. Well, this is the first time around, Ryan. Third time, you don't have any. This is May 3rd. This is the 10th of July, Tom. Young fire line open doors open. Let's think if there's a Ryan Lucifer right now there. Because I can't imagine a little. Let's think of that. Put it out there. Period. Now, what I want you guys to listen to is this part. This is a very special, important part. God said to Satan, Orion, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, I will, if you rule over earth, that you will be blind. You will not be able to see. You won't see things clearly. You won't know. You'll have to, your son is lying because he was lying. He called him a liar because he's going to harm Mother Nature's creatures. So she sent scorpion fingers. Scorpion to burn the thing on his ankle. But what happened was, this was so hurt and stressed over his daughter, which was, that was her and his lover. Orion was his daughter. Now, I'll tell you which one, you do your own homework. He's dead, cast him into Haiti, which is a pit of ocean, you see the alive, you see this right here, people? Where is Haiti? With a pitchfork in the bottom of the ocean, and doors off, right? Right? He hung a lion in the highest part of life in the top. And then he surrounded a lion with the seven swans, the seven sisters of Orion's belt. The dogs, the seven dogs of transmutation, whatever, the hunter. But the hunter hunts, the hunter will be hunted, the hunter's belt. Whatever y'all want to call that situation. Now, Orion's very upset up there because nobody is taking heed to what he is surprised. He did not mean it. He was taken wrong. He was boasting, though. He boasted about how great he was. He boasted about how wonderful he was. He was prideful instead of humbling, being proud. He was prideful. His ego was cocky and arrogant and boastful, and he spoke, "I feel so great of my accomplishment of killing all the rabbits for Mother Nature, Mother Earth, our womb, that I could kill any creature and all creatures on the face of this earth." Cocky, cocky, cocky! Arrogant cockiness! But he didn't mean it. He meant he was that great, that most profoundness, which he, of course, was the best hunter in the universe. Because that was the gift God made him. He perfected it, studied it, and studied it and perfected it till he was just the best. Now, one of Aphrodite, which is the goddess of Venus, goddess of love, one of her children was what, Cupid? She had twins? No, I'm not going to take any more. I'll study that part again by yourself. Okay. Now, here's the connection. God Almighty, to this day, I'm down on the olive branch, this day, he is here today because he was going to put his foot on the earth like a footstool. But what happened? He washed his feet with olive oil. He was to come down on an olive branch, which is still in the Bible, place his heel on the footstool of this earth. But that heel is what? You can heal to be healed. You can heal to get a horse to go in. You can heal any kind of way. But what is it? What's the proper thing? It's like, I feel so great. I can heal anything on the face of this earth. I'm that great one. What does heal mean? Reverence. Heal. Take it which way you want. You've got the opportunity. The door's open. Which door? How you gonna walk in that door to heal this earth, y'all? I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you and you and you. I'm gonna say, wash each other's feet. Humble each other. Take care of each other's feet. Because our feet are our pathfinder's way to healing Orion. So the Orion is very disturbed. He's very upset because he has not been. He holds all our wishes from the candle. Birthday wishes. Every wish you put on Twinkle since you were born. This man holds. And he holds it. How do you want him to place your wish? Do you remember your purpose? Do you remember your Twinkle, Twinkle little star? Do you remember your words? Do you remember A, B, C, D, E, F, G? Do you remember your communication? Do you remember what you say, speak, say, and do about people? It comes back to you 10,000 fold. Do you remember that karma? Do you remember that karma pain? Without a mind? Do you remember that karma? To forgive yourself. Wipe it clean. Turn the pain. Get the freaking ego out of the way. Get it out of the way. Hey, government. It's time to realize that Orion is at the mercy. Orion's at the mercy. And he could burn this universe to kingdom God. But he also could heal this earth. He could heal it. Because he could use his heal that God put on him wholeness of the oil of the olive branch and take heed to it with reverence. It's not to you people. How do you want to spend eternity? Where do you want to go? Who's going to look at you after you die? Are you going to feel it? Are you going to see it? Get a grip, people. This power shit. Bullshit. This is a bad word. And I'm sorry, I'm screaming and hollering, busting my ass right now. But by God, I don't go anywhere. I sit in front of this freaking computer, and I let my ass off again. Because I care. I'm a healer. I'm a shaman. I walk my walk. I talk my talk. I speak my truth. And I stand firm in believing in the Almighty God Almighty that I will not falter. And I'll be thankful if I'm going to stand here anymore and have somebody peon that cannot get a life focus on me and try to ruin my damn name any longer. Because I don't really care. And I care about you. I care about you. I am sick of it. It's making me regurgitate the evil right now for each one of you. I want to hold you in my arms. I love you. I love you. And I love Orion. And he wants to heal this world with his power to give another chance. Won't you give Orion the honor, the 1111? The 1111 that he is, the bridging, let's bridge, it's evenly done. Let's understand that witchcraft has gotten a bad.
That's enough.
Wow.
Damn. I was on the edge. I heard about that broadcast. I never heard it, though. And I was on the edge of my seat.
It didn't start out like that.
I wanted to go to church and get on my knees and surrender. And
I know.
You were fired up.
That's why you never know what this old chicken's going to be acting like and talking like. I just let God do it. But I was told that particular date in the pool, it was May the 3rd, 2011. That is an archive, everyone. Get with the program. I'm going to get with the program and try to start putting a little highlight on what each archive is on my side. But I just, I get so carried away with going out there that, like you said, Michael, I'm on the...
That was channeled.
Well, it was, it's true, though. I mean, I don't ever, you know, it goes on. I listened to a little piece of this earlier, and it goes on to say that, you know, I never know what I'm saying. I have to listen to the archives myself when I'm teaching like that. Connecting the dots. Let's get with that. Connecting the dots in the timeline. You know, connecting the dots is a game that I used to play. I'm going to repeat it again as a child. My mother made it up. And I started broadcasting Connect the Dots. Now, we have to cleanly connect the dots. It says in the first part of this archive, it's like the Dewey Decimal System. You know, sometimes we need to make an outline, and we need to outline what we're all about so that we can put that message out there. And, Michael, you and I, we're always giving a message out there in between our laughter and everything that we do. But that particular archive was for May Balton, you know, the evenly yoked, where the seven swans, one swan comes down and allows us to bring the light back up for Halloween. And it's an amazing archive. It's the whole thing. But we talk about the octagon shape. I talk about the octagon shape in there, how those patterns are very important. It's in the sand dollar, the starfish, the turtle, the starfish. And, you know, if you think about it, what are we doing trying to bring the octave higher? And it's octagon. You know, isn't that weird? I didn't even think about that till just now. But the octagon shape, do you remember that dream that I had that I tape recorded in the middle of the night where I saw the octagon shaped ball? And it was where
so the money was being laundered. This was like 3 or 4 years ago, and I played that tape for you, and it was a, I put my thumb on it, so it would be authentic. You know, colored my finger red and then put my fingerprint on it. You remember that dream? When you were here the first time?
Yes.
Well, in the octagon shape, that circle, I used to think it was a something in Florida, like the Epcot Center. But I also got Ben, or somebody Ben, and getting shot in the face, or on the side of the face, and a, kind of a dark skinned man. And I also got that octagon. It just keeps playing in my head. It's a round ball with octagon shape, almost like a, if you think of a honeycomb in a circle. Think of a honeycomb in a circle. That's what I keep, remember I saw it on in a dream that you had it around your neck. Well, isn't that the Christ conscious symbol?
I'm not sure, baby. It may be Judaism.
I don't know. It's a ball. It's like a golf ball, but it's just like what Epcot Center has. It's this huge ball, like a big water tower, but it's octagon shaped all inside of it to connect it. If you think of a monkey bar, you know, or, you know, get something like that.
Yeah. Interesting.
Like wire. Like, say, chicken wire. And you hook all the chicken wire to a circle.
Right.
I keep that constantly in my head and in my dreams. And the only thing I can think of is that, you know, that I have come across a piece of jewelry that looks like it's called Christ Consciousness. And anyway, if you think about it, how we can get this earth to have... I was sitting in line at the chicken play, and all this stuff was coming at my face, coming out of the exhaust pipe. Do you remember back in the day, we used to couldn't even drive a car if it had exhaust coming out of it? Do you remember? It had to be certain exhaust.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And now, pours out of cars. Mine didn't have it because I drive a 97 Accord that only has a few miles. I have to keep it in the garage and it's perfect. But mine, I looked in the rearview mirror, I could barely see any coming out of mine. But I was sitting in front of a brand new car that had dual exhaust pipes with double barrels just blasting. And I got to thinking, just now, listening to this, why is it that nobody's putting together the candle wax to make the energy, to make the cars go, whatever, you know? Because it's true. I mean, why is somebody not doing that? Why are they reaching into their butt to get dirty stuff when they could use the smoke that's already there out of a candle wax or a candle? I mean, isn't there some scientist out there that could probably put that together?
They probably have it already, baby, but there's billions involved. If you came up with something...
But that's been before time. I mean, the candle being blown out has been since the beginning of beginnings. The candle, the light, the fire.
Right.
And what is the source of beeswax, right? And if you can ignite with magic, I'm not saying use magic, but isn't the candle that powerful? You can hold. I saw on YouTube, you blow the candle out and you use a Bic lighter or a match or something and hold it. It's arm length high, but you can touch that smoke and it will pop down and light that wick again. It's that powerful. One little ball of wax.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
And think, it could run the cars, it could run our electricity, it could run everything. That smoke, if it was harnessed properly, because it has beady, 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 teeny microscopic balls of wax, and it's that powerful. And you think about it, if everybody's trying to turn things around, which I know that that's what's happening in the world today, is we're turning things that were the karma with the overbus is now instant karma to make things correct. We get a chance to correct things.
Yes. And we got to pay back everything that our parents, grandparents did.
Right.
So... And if we don't, well, you can see what's happening. But thank God green is in, and the rivers and the oceans, I guess, are getting cleaner. But
isn't that something? thinking about before. I was wondering if we were going to broadcast from a stomach flu. But how it all started in the ocean, and how Haiti is, the pitchfork is in the ocean. And how, remember the day in Yahoo, how I said that Pandora's box was wedged in between a rock and a hard place in the ocean in a crevice deep? And how they drilled for the oil, and it cracked the ocean up, and everything with the tail in a handbasket.
Well, according to my guides and a few other seers throughout history, we've been there and done that. In other words, there's nothing new under the sun. We're just remembering what we did have.
Uh-huh.
But we destroyed ourselves over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Because of power before knowledge, and this time we're doing it the right way, and we're very rebellious.
The thing that I'm comprehending a little bit more each day is that this is hell.
Well,
for real hell.
It's certainly...
Adam, our 9-year-old crystal child, even said we're in hell. And he said, this is hell. We're trying to climb out of it. I was like, heck, for a 9-year-old to say that?
Well, in a way, it's very true. According to my guides, hell is separation from love and knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And then you have your angels that come down and try to help people out of their dungeons by leaving themselves in the sideline and just coming on up there with touching as many souls as they can.
Yeah. Many lives, many masters.
Mm-hmm.
Many messengers. But if you notice, it's always a very similar message. Love one another.
Mm-hmm.
Before it's too late.
Yeah.
That's a very simple message, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it so hard?
Because you know how people are. It's so simple that people make it hard. They don't know any other way because, you know, when we're first born, God gave us the gift of breathing and reproduction. The rest is man-made. And our inner side, inside of our heart, not with our heart, but inside of our heart. Why does God say to pray in the closet, the secrets of your closet?
Very good, baby. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
When I was coming up through the ranks.
Mm-hmm. Why does he say that? So that no one else hears your thoughts and prayers to God, because you have your own individual relationship with him. Right?
Go within.
Going within, that's what you used to be called in Yahoo. And now I'll ponder this though. If we take a candlelight and we light it and we close the door in the closet, what happens? There's no oxygen for it to breathe, so it goes out, right? So God says, go and pray in the tiniest closet with the doors closed. In the darkest place you can find.
What was the one with the candle under the bed, babe? Do you remember?
The candle under the bed?
Something with shining the light from taking it from under the bed and put it in the windowsill.
Oh, that's one of those nursery rhymes. Remember, nursery rhymes teach us the most of everything.
Hmm. Okay. Boy, you're bringing back the old days.
Yeah, that's what we got to do, though. We got to get back to the old days. It's that simple. We got all these books that have come out and all these people that take words off of other people and things off of other people and try to make themselves so famous. And everybody's hungry. I understand that. I understand that.
You do. You understand.
What, baby?
You understand it. It's an industry, baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's an industry, and everybody's got an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many different paths to the you the light. But is it plagiarism? I don't know when it comes to our industry.
I don't really think plagiarism is even... There's so many people doing that nowadays, they don't even bother with it anymore.
You know,
I mean,
when you're talking heaven and angels and God...
Yeah, look at what they're doing to even the, you know, firstborn 7 years ago, our forefathers, you know. Look at what all they're trying to tear apart and put back together in their own words. I don't believe that plagiarism even holds up anywhere anymore.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say, especially in spiritual matters.
Yeah.
You know, photography, music, writing, that's a little different, but as far as your connection to your higher power and the divine, they may use your words or thoughts or some of your techniques.
Mm-hmm. Which and is good. That means you're a teacher.
Exactly. That's what Jesus came to tell us.
And it's a form of flattery, which is humbling. But
absolutely.
What I'm saying is, so, you know, when we were little and we did wrong and we thought we could hide it and we could make ourselves believe that it wasn't wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? And how we could tell the, you know, you'd always get caught even when you grow up from what you did when you were little. But the thing that I was pondering here is that, no matter what, we can't lie from ourselves. But even it and the truth, the pure, raw truth, but it and the lie, Satan, it and the father lies, a lie, even if it's laying its own truth back, so it's the truth of its lie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the truth is the truth, mm-hmm. Even though even a lie is the truth for itself because it's a lie.
Absolutely.
Which, that's pretty daggum deep, which I am. Anyway, but...
Well, you know, a lie is just as bad as murder.
Oh, yeah. It's worse than murder.
When it comes to sinning. So, and we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God.
You know, my mother says that I'm boldly, bluntly, brutally honest to a fault. And I learned from my president, you know, George Washington can't cut down the cherry tree, can't tell a lie. You know, that's how I took that literally when I was growing up. You know, Mom said I'd tell myself, even if I was going to get in the smithereens of trouble, I'd still tell. There's something that when you can reach that part of yourself, and know that you're okay with yourself, then that's what's so important so that you can give to other people. I'm still learning how to receive those. That is so hard for me. I can give, but if I don't learn to receive as much, then I cannot give it back out as well.
Very true. Very true. So it's got to start within and then reject it back out again.
Mm-hmm.
Once it gets enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and you do a good job of that, you will want, you're a phenomenal healer and teacher and messenger, man. I can't say enough about what comes through you and how you do it, how many people you help. In the last 20, 40 years, 20 years publicly, sharing your gifts and teaching. And privately, 40 years. That's what we're here for, to teach and share.
That's right. And I appreciate you saying that and seeing that in me. Because... That's all I want. I want everybody to be able to give their gifts out and share their root. I can't stress it enough. Their self. What they hear inside themselves from the knowing from God, not from a book, and not from, well, you know, it's okay to learn from books, but applying and walking and talking it is different. Got to utilize it and connect that dot. We don't connect our dots. I mean, what'd you tell Allison that time that her web was getting too big? Remember?
Yeah.
Her questions were getting so out of whack that the dots were not being connected. They were being connected, but they were being connected over yonder and over there. And you got to connect the dots in a proper manner. Just like that paint by numbers. You know,
right.
Remember numbers or jigsaw puzzle or whatever, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So you can't go 1, 5, 6, 9, 3, 2. You know, that's just going to make a twisted up knot. And connecting the dots, yeah, get it out there. Use that phrase, but dadgum, know what you mean by it. Right?
Absolutely, baby. Absolutely.
Connect all baby steps. Baby steps. We've got
absolutely
to crawl before we can walk, and we've got to have baby steps before we can have giant steps. And people are so hungry to be looked at and noticed and make a dime and a dollar that they are making the giant steps, which will fall apart. What Mama say also, she says quality, not quantity. Right? She says the quality stays together longer than the quantity.
And
my dad, right, the people, the message Michael and I are trying to get out here right now is that if you take your time, and if this earth takes its time, whatever time it is, because I don't have a clock or a calendar, I don't even know, but if we take our patience, let's use that word, patience, and make sure each step is blindly stepped in front of the other because we just know. And take the baby steps to build it big instead of hurrying it up and getting it out there to make a mass production of it. You know?
Huh. Well.
We could build an earth. If everybody would take their time and take patience, like a turtle. Because you know the rabbit, it can bounce all over the place and wins the race. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But a turtle goes in the same direction very slowly. And it is the one that wins in the long run because it remembers everything it's passed by and it knows its lesson and it keeps in the same direction. It doesn't bounce all over the place.
Right. You know, we are going to be doing a lot. Why don't you tell them, baby, about the show every Sunday?
You go ahead.
Want me to?
Sure.
All right. Well, Tassie and I broadcast live every Sunday, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's in Blog Talk, and it's Tassie and Michael Exposed.
And the address is Bridging-Wisdom.
Bridging-Wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can Google. Once you get the Blog Talk, they have their own search engine. You just put in Tassie and Michael Exposed, Bridging-Wisdom, and you will find the show. We're going to be doing readings, but we're covering relationships right now and the dynamics involved, especially long-distance dating. It's been a very interesting show. We've been having some techie issues, but they usually clear up on their own. Got the Mercury retro coming to an end here, and the stars are going to start uplifting everything and everybody. So, but stop in and catch that show every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
About phone dating. But it's not just dating on the phone. It's relationships in general with people that we don't get to see in person. And it goes, we're going to
topics such as how to read energy, how you know a person's energy is like a face or a voice.
Right.
And Mike and I have gone through a lot over the past 7 years.
You want to tell them where I'm going to spend Christmas and New Year's? And...
Yeah, tell them all, everything. We have nothing to expose them.
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
I know.
I got love in my tummy. Remember that song?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for the active listening audience, I am going down to Charlotte to visit Tassie and spend 3 weeks with her and spend the holidays with her and her family. And we're going to shellac. Is that what it's called, babe?
Shellac. Shellacking, yeah.
Shellacking and chilling. We're also going to do a lot of artwork and photography and YouTubing, and you're seeing the beginning of Tassie and I coming together creatively and romantically. So we're very much in love, and we're going to move forward, and we will update everybody with the details as they unfold.
And
but for now, I want to thank everybody for the love and support.
Love you.
What, baby?
I said, I want to thank you. I love you. But we expressed all of our problems, and we fix them together so we can explain to everybody else, 2 55-year-olds, one divorced and not dating for 10 years, and the other one a widow, which is Michael. And we have a lot of fusses, but we come back together and we fix them, and we learn from them, and that's what we're exposing. We are using our relationship as a rawness, which not many people could really ever do because of their pride and ego. But Michael and I pulled all that down, and we are allowing every bit of what we've learned from each other, our problems to our love, the depth of our love, for you guys. And it also helps us because we're exposing out anything that bothers us. And sometimes we'll be on air at Blog Talk and not even know that we're on air, because Michael and I get so wrapped up in our conversations. And we share a lot of wrongness, you know, from the bedroom to, why does it take you 4 trips to kiss me hello? You know, things like that. Because Michael wanted to save his energy, he wanted to make sure it was right before he exchanged energy, even with a simple kiss. That's how we want to share with you guys how important it is, a relationship, and how honored he and I are to be together. Good gosh, if anybody has what we have, we are so excited for you.
You know, it's very difficult, folks, for people that are local or people that have known each other and they have access to each other to go into a romance relationship and be successful. You see it every day. People breaking up all the time. And
that's the easy way out, we've learned, isn't it?
Absolutely. And especially if you there's financial or health issues. And let's face it, we are 55. That's another thing that a lot of folks have problems with, finding somebody their own age. Usually it's somebody younger, somebody older. We're the same age.
And the same life. This life. Then again, you're very clean and very together and very structured, and I'm very, Oscar and Felix?
Yeah.
I'm sloppy. I just put things down and go, and they pop up, and I've got my little nest, and Michael's got his way, but we got a happy medium. He's good for me.
Absolutely. And, you know, But with everything else, we're two peas in a pod.
Right. And I hope my...
I mean...
Yeah, I hope you teach me to... You turn off the computer at 9 to 5, basically, and do your work from 9 to 5. I'm in the middle of the night. I'm in the daytime. I don't even have a schedule. I need to learn what a schedule is.
Cycles.
I have... The last person that was here was my son, Matthew, and he's a fireman. He was up and down all night long, and I think that's where I learned it, all day and night, you know, with that bell. And I think that's how I started programming myself, because I wasn't always like this, but I don't sleep well because of that test I'm going to have where you check and see why you don't sleep well. What'd you say, I quit breathing so many times an hour?
Yes. Sleep apnea.
Yeah. And so I just learned to not fight it. I go with the flow. But it's also a habit. Habits are hard to break, but that's where Michael and I are going to help each other too. Where he's going to help me learn to break a few habits. Where he's learned to put what if in so much and letting it happen. And
schedule and
help the world live.
And then you're going to teach me not to be so anal.
I don't know, because I believe that people are born in certain ways, honey. Like my son Jason.
Ooh.
Well, my son Jason has got everything. When he comes here to visit, he's a doctor, engineer, chemical, water, soil, Spanish. He's got it all, but he's diehard hippie, that boy is. But everything has to have its little spot, and that's anal. And, you know. It's called anal cognitive. It's a way of thinking, you know. And that's a route. That's a personality. And people's personalities are the way they are, you know.
Right. And it takes all kinds to make the world go round.
Yeah. Anal's a good thing. I mean, I wish I had pessimistic in me.
You got to have a couple walking around.
Mm-hmm.
Because if everybody was Oscar and there was no Felixes, it would be kind of rough. And if everybody was Felix and no Oscars, it'd be crazy, too. So, you know, I just got an email that a certain something was shipped to a certain someone.
No, what is it? Susan, what? Are we talking about...
I can't tell you.
Oh, is it a surprise to me?
I can't tell you everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can read. Is it pink? Yeah. Color pink everywhere.
I don't want to say so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen.
But it looks like they'll be there when I'm there.
Let me ask you something, so that since I'm not supposed to know that, I don't want to. Have it ink in me and tantalizing me. I did not get online very much today in the past couple of days for being sick. But I did get one particular email that I just scanned over real quick, and I assured the person he had three dreams in the past 3 nights. Okay? The first dream was driving a school bus or a bus, and he fell out of it and it fell on top of him, and he woke up. That was the first dream 3 nights ago. The second dream, he was in the back of his old truck, you know, service truck where he worked on, I think he was like a telephone guy, and it fell on top of him. He fell out the back of it, and it fell on top of him, and he woke up. Well, then last night he dreamed, he woke up sobbing and crying that his sister had died. Now, I know for a fact that when you dream somebody dies, that's a rebirth and a rejuvenation rebirth. Or a new birth in the family. But the only thing I can think of is that he is letting go of all of his old, you know, the old school bus back in the school days, you know, driving the school bus in his school days. And then his work ethic, you know, and the communications, which he used to be with cell phone guy. And then his sister dying, you know, is a rebirth. So that's all I could say to the person is that it was a rebirth because I haven't gone into it yet. But that one's got me a little stumped, because I do dreams, you know, interpretations, but The only thing I can think of is that because it was his school bus and it fell on top of him, and then it his utility truck and it fell on top of him, but he got out of the dream, you know. Because you never die in your dreams or you die. You always wake up before you die, but his dream his sister died. Now, I remember back a couple of years ago that I kept dreaming that I couldn't control my flying, you know, coming out of the body and flying around. And I'd always be in a warehouse a lot of times. Not all the time, but a lot of times I'd be in a warehouse and I couldn't get up over it. You know, all I did was fly to the top. And I realized that it was my frustration of feeling harnessed and captured by my family for taking such care of me with the house. And I had to go to them for everything. I was always in my brother's warehouse. And there's always kittens in the top.
Huh.
But I love to learn more about this, you know, deeper into dreams, because I know that dreams, our minds fart a lot, right? In our dreams. But everything connects. Okay, like Aunt Tilly, the lady that is 82 years old and still flies and went with Amelia Earnhardt.
Right.
In her flight club, but she calls it the craft, right? And she said the reason that how they did the races was not against the particular airplane, but it was how to ride the clouds, how to ride the current, and get that plane to go faster and faster and faster by using the current that are up there, the elements. Now, and so when we dream, we're up there in the craft. And then you got the spacecraft. Then you got the craft of the, you know, your tools of, you know, being a Wiccan or whatever. You got your craft of using different mediums for your art pieces. You getting all this? I'm just now coming to all this, so bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm connecting small thoughts, okay? We got, at the beginning, the craft. Okay, and then arts and crafts we have, and we use different mediums. We use like pen and ink or watercolors or pottery or photography, whatever. Those are mediums.
Right.
What kind of thing do you like? We have the craft of Wiccan, which is the craft and the medium. If you say that, whoa.
The medium would be their method of operandi.
Mm-hmm. And the spirit, right? And how in the world a craft and a medium of art is the spirit. If you don't mass produce it, it's from your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have. Remember that night you were here and I woke you up and you said, "Who's flying the plane?"
Yeah. Ooh.
In the dream, you were dreaming, so therefore you had to come back, and you talked in your sleep a little bit, said, but who's flying the plane? Because the dream is the craft. And if we lose our dream, the reality of the real dream, what did I say last night, Santa Claus, and it's the children, because they believe it's real.
Absolutely.
It's not is believe, but it's believing is seeing.
Absolutely. That's why Jesus said you got to be like a child.
Mm-hmm. It's child.
It's your belief. What you believe, what you can perceive, you can achieve.
Yeah.
So belief and perception.
Mm-hmm.
Of already knowing that you know.
You just gotta know the knowing. Always. And nothing is always.
Right. See, there's universal laws. Like the airplane has air, wind, gravity, speed, drag, all that. And spirit has spirit has your belief and your perception. to go up and do what you got to do.
Up and out. Not down and out, or you'll come with me. I hate to say it, but it's 9 o'clock. We are at the top of the hour.
Whoa.
I know. I want to end it with going out in a big bin.
God bless everybody.
God bless everybody. Take care.